Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to episode 39, I think, of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is Thursday, November 20th, 2014. This is actually the second time I recorded this. I recorded it on Monday because I was working from home and had a little bit of extra time. And then after our Japanese guests left, I decided that there were other things that I wanted to talk about, and I wasn't particularly thrilled with the episode. So instead of recording that one and adding that on to another podcast, I decided to just scrap that one and start over. I may not be able to get all of this recorded this morning just because I'm running a little short on time, but I can get started. I'd really like to get this out today because I want to get back on schedule. For those of you just tuning in, I am Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is SOMERYARNS. And I would love it if you would join our Ravelry group. It's the Kitchen Stitches group. I don't know if you can hear the background noise of my dog drinking water. If you can, sorry about that. And one of my cats is also in here and has been a little chatty this morning. He's my 15-year-old cat, and he's very playful this morning, which is very unusual and kind of awesome. What I am going to talk about today is, what I've been up to, which is Kit and You and our Japanese exchange students, finished objects, works in progress, spinning, cross-stitch, enabling, and acquisitions, our Christmas All Year Long knit along, and in the kitchen. So let's get started. What I've been up to. Since I last recorded, I went to Kit and You, which is a fiber festival in Burney, Texas, which is just northwest of San Antonio. Excuse me while I take a sip of coffee. And excuse me again while I go let the dog out. I mentioned in the last episode that I had last minute decided to go to Kit and You with my friend Katie, and that is what we did. We got up early on Saturday, November 8th, and I drove to San Antonio, or near San Antonio. We left here, the Houston area, around 8 in the morning after a stop at Starbucks. Got to the Fiber Festival right around 12 o'clock, and we had plans to meet friends. We met up with Heidi and Elizabeth, who are Knitty Girl One and Dark Matter Knits. We had plans to meet up with them at 12 and eat some lunch. And we got there right before 12 o'clock. Our timing was perfect. And when we got there, Heidi and Elizabeth weren't where we said they were going, where we had decided to meet, which was fine. We had, like I said, we had just gotten there, so that gave us a little bit of time to look around a little bit and get our bearings before going to lunch. So we, looked at some shops or looked at some vendors for a little while and then met up with Heidi and Elizabeth, and we went to a place called the Dodging Duck Brew House, I believe. Y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. And we went and we were able to get a table right away. The service was slow. We waited for quite a while for our food. Food was fine. Excuse me. But it did take a little bit longer than I think any of us had anticipated, and we were all a little hungry. But food was good. After we ate our lunch, we went back to the festival and got our shopping on. I don't actually remember how long we stayed. I don't remember what time we got back to the festival, and I don't remember what time we left. I want to think we left around 4 or 4:30. I just don't remember. It may be closer to 5. But we were there for a few hours. Looked at a lot of different vendors. There are 3 different barns at Kit and You. The 2 of them are pretty full of vendors. One is more full than the other, I believe. Maybe they're about the same. And the other one is there are only a few vendors in there, and that's where they hold classes. I tried to make one round before buying anything, and that didn't exactly work out. I did pretty good. There were a lot of things that I went back and bought, but there were also a few things that I knew for sure that I was going to buy, so I went ahead and got them. And there's only one case where I feel like that bit me a little bit, and it didn't bite me. It just, and I saw something later that I would have bought instead. But, you know, these things happen, and I'm sure I'll be very pleased with the other. And I'll talk about that when I get into acquisitions. So that was a lot of fun. We saw a lot of people that I recognized. The dog wants back in. Just a moment. Okay. So we met, there were a lot of people that I feel that we met, we ran into a few people, and I chatted with a lot of people. I'm not gonna try to do a rundown of everybody, or let's not doing it in a chronological, but we met Heidi and Elizabeth at the Mustache Yarn booth, because it's easy to find, and they know Stacy, and I had met Stacy, and so that was a good place to meet. So I got to say hello to Stacy, who is the dyer behind Mustache Yarns and one half of the Mustache podcast. So I got to meet Stacy, and I got to say hello to Diane Suburban Stitcher, who I had met. Well, I met Stacy and Diane both at Kid and You last year, but Diane and I both went to Into the Wool. So I got to say hello to her. And then there were other people that I meant to meet up with, or had hoped to meet up with, but I didn't get to meet, our schedules did not coincide. So that was a bit of a bummer. And then the other person that I met through the course of the day that I have, gotten to know through Instagram is Amanda from Lone Star Arts. And that was kind of funny because when I walked into the booth, she said, "I know you." She recognized me from Instagram. So that was kind of cool. But, otherwise, one of the things that I noticed was a difference in me from last year and this year. Last year when we went to Kid and You, I had just started the podcast. I think I had one episode. Yeah, I know. I had one episode out at the time. And that was, I think, the reason that I started it when I did is because I wanted to have already started it when I went to Kid and You. And I am always shy, but talking to people was harder. This year, I was able to talk to people a lot better. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I was less shy. I was more outgoing. I chatted with vendors. I did things that I would not have normally done. Like I got to play with the blocking board, which I'm usually really self-conscious about doing things like that and being taught, but I wanted the experience. So that was a lot of fun. So overall it was a really good day. I had a really good time. And I don't know that I'll go back next year just because there are other festivals and I can't go to every one. So maybe I'll go to another one next year instead. Well, it will all depend. Everything honestly will depend on where Laura is going to school and schedules and that type of thing. After the festival, we went back to our hotel. We stayed in Burnie. Excuse me. And, it was really cool because our room looked out over a field and there were deer in the field who stayed there pretty much all night. I think there were 4 deer, and I know that before we went to bed, Katie looked out and saw them, and they were actually still out there. So that was neat. Hotel was nice, you know, just an average hotel. We went and had pizza at Broken Stone Pizza Works, I think. I don't remember. I looked it up when I recorded the first time. But I know it was Broken Stone. You know, I'm going to do it again just because that's going to drive me crazy. But it was a family-owned pizza place a little bit further out from the city than, sorry, I can't type. Oakenstone. Let's see. Excuse me, I'm sorry, allergies have been bad this week. Well, it would help if you actually spelled it right. Anyway, there is a main street that runs through Bernie. I don't think that's the right name. Let's just say pizza. Sorry, guys. I do make show notes, I promise. So there's a main street that runs through Broken Stone Pizza Company. I was close. Anyway, there's a main street that runs through Bernie. Third time's a charm. And that's where a lot of the, you know, the popular restaurants are. And we were concerned that maybe there would be long waits. And we just weren't sure where to go. So we found this place. It sounded good. It was a little bit past it was on the same strip, but it was past all of the downtown stuff. It was in a little strip mall. And it wasn't busy at all. In fact, we were one of like two or three tables that were full when we first got there. It filled up as we were there. And we ordered a pizza, shared a dessert. It was a nice night. Headed back to our hotel, watched Sleepless in Seattle, which happened to be on television, which is one of my favorite movies, and knit. And it was just very relaxing, really nice to get away for a couple of days. Or a day. And next morning, got up and headed back to Houston. Super, super fun weekend. And I'm really, really glad that I convinced myself to go. So, let's see. Japanese exchange students. Oh my gosh, guys. What an experience. So, I mentioned that we were having Japanese exchange students. We had two students, Yuna and Mako, who stayed with us for 3 nights. They arrived on Saturday night around, it was probably between 6:30 and 7. We went and had dinner. Laura wanted to go have burgers, so we went with her and another of her friends who was also hosting a student and her parents. We went and had burgers at a place called Jerry Built Burgers in Bel Air, Texas. And then came home and got everybody settled. They gave gifts. It's traditional for, we brought gifts for them. Of course, I mean, people bring hostess gifts, but it's a big deal. You give gifts to everyone in the family. So they had gifts for all of us. A lot of Japanese candy and food, that type of thing. I got some really pretty stationery, a little Hello Kitty doll, which they were curious to know whether we knew Hello Kitty, which I find funny since that is such a very popular brand. I don't remember what Jimmy and Eli got. Eli got a little puzzle that was Pikachu, who is a Pokemon, and they were very... they loved that I knew Pikachu. That was another thing they didn't know whether we were familiar with, and another thing that is huge in the United States. And Jimmy got some green tea, which he really liked, and it was a lot of fun. You know, a lot of giggling, you see these stereotypes of Japanese schoolgirls, you know, the almost like anime character, and they were kind of right. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but they, you know, I'll tell these stories and there was like an anime character came alive in my house. It was very cool. They were the coolest girls. And then, Sunday we got up and we went to Target, which was just, they were just in awe. Oh, we had to go, we were looking for coats for them because it was colder than they expected, and they were going to Boston after they came here. We didn't find any at Target, but we did end up getting some the next night. But they were just the candy aisle, literally kids in a candy store. They just, I have a picture, which I didn't post on Instagram because of privacy reasons. I did post it on Facebook, and I am going to post them in the Ravelry group, which I feel like, since Ravelry is a closed community, I feel comfortable posting them there, but not on Instagram where the whole world can see. So I will post those pictures. But they have pictures of them with just armfuls of candy. It was just so much fun. They wanted to see the whole store. So we walked up and down the grocery store aisles. And things that we wouldn't think anything of, like the size of the chip bags, were just amazing to them. The family-sized Dole pineapple juice can was just an amazing thing to them, which, you know, they stopped and were oohing and aahing, and I'm trying to figure out why. I'm like, it's the pineapple can. Okay. They're used to the little small, probably 6-ounce pineapple juice cans that are, you know, we commonly see for individual sizes is what they are used to, but they had never seen this big can like this before. So after we went to Target, we went to the Galleria, which is a large mall here in Houston with fancy anchor stores like Saks Fifth Avenue, Nordstrom, that type of thing. But it's got a skating rink with a huge Christmas tree already set up. And I did post that to Instagram, so you may have seen that. The Lego store. So I took a picture of that for Obi-Wan Kenner. And we went... I don't know, there's just a lot of, you know, food court, typical mall stuff with these huge anchors. It is a destination in and of itself when you come to Houston. Everybody wants to go to the Galleria, so that's what we did, and they shopped around for a while. Eli and I came home so that I could cook dinner, and the girls and Jimmy went to the Houston Museum of Natural Science, which is a fantastic science museum, has a fairly new paleontology exhibit, which is probably one of the best in the country, if not the world. And if you listen to the Stitch Addiction podcast, or watch the Stitch Addiction podcast with Kate, Hello Nitty, she has talked about the Natural Science Museum. Before she moved to Kansas, she lived in Houston, and that's where she worked. So you may have heard about that already. So they had a really good time there. They came back. We ate beef stew. And they were exhausted. It was kind of a strange night because they came home and they rested. Like, they basically fell asleep before dinner. We got them up for dinner and they basically went back to bed. And we weren't sure if they were upset or because they weren't interacting with us. They didn't come out to the room where we were, but they also weren't talking. So we assumed they were just tired. It was a little odd, and we were a little worried that maybe we had done something wrong. That does not appear to have been the case at all. And that's where I had left off in the previous recording of this, because that's all we had done. Well, on Monday, they went to school with Laura and, of course, Jimmy and Eli, since they're all at the same place. And that was apparently a very chaotic day. It does not appear to have been very well planned. Jimmy ended up going and buying a bunch of food for a lot of the kids because it just hadn't. Bel Air's lunch situation is very odd, and I can maybe talk about that at some time. I don't think anybody's that interested, but basically you've got too many students for the cafeteria, so kids eat everywhere. It's chaos. So Jimmy came home, was super, super frustrated and exhausted, but we had to go back up to the school for a dinner that was hosted by the Bel Air students, basically put it together. I don't know how much planning was done by adults, how much was done by kids, but they had a barbecue, and barbecue was really pretty bad, but it was barbecue and desserts. I was the only one who made a homemade dessert, I have to say. I am gloating just a little bit over that. It was good, too. I'll talk about that in the kitchen. So they had this dinner, and the Japanese students did presentations on different things, like different festivals and different food and anime, and there was one more, but I can't remember what it was. And it was really interesting. It was really cute. The dinner we had, it was very friendly, and there was just more bonding with these girls, and they were taking lots of pictures, and I took a couple of selfies, and it was so much fun. And then after that, we went to Old Navy and bought them jackets. Well, they bought their own jackets, but we went there and went home and took some more pictures and got them ready to go. And then Tuesday morning when they left, I was a mess. Seriously. I was not expecting to become so emotionally attached to these two girls. They're forever my Japanese daughters. I mean, they both left us notes. One spoke better English than the other, and one letter was a little bit longer, and then the other was just very short, but just talking about what a good time she had and thanking us, and, you know, that she hoped to meet us again sometime, and then she signed it, and she said, I love you, and it was just, my heart was just, I was just, sorry, no words. They left, and I just bawled. Okay, I didn't bawl, but I definitely cried, and I felt weepy all day, and I've been, you know, they went to Boston. I've been checking the weather in Boston and hoping they're warm enough, and it was just one of the most valuable experiences that I have ever had. And growing up in rural Mississippi, I never, ever would have guessed that this was an experience that I would have. And I'm just so grateful for it. You know, it's already 7:05, and I really should stop here. I've got this out of the way, and I will pick up again either tonight or tomorrow morning, and I will tell you about my knitting and in the kitchen. So until then, I'm going to leave you. Okay, people. I took a longer break than I had intended to. So I last was recording on, I think that was Thursday, and I meant to record Friday morning and just completely forgot until it was too late to do it. Meant to do it yesterday morning and got busy and just never had a chance all day. And am finally finding an opportunity to do this as I have dinner in the oven on, what is tonight? Sunday night. So, hold on just a moment while I check my phone. Sorry about that. Okay. I'm just saying happy birthday to a friend of my daughter's. So, when I left you on Thursday, I had just finished talking about everything that I've been up to. I don't think there's much to add to that. Other than I had no idea how tired I was going to be after hosting our guests, and this whole work week was just, it was just crazy. It was the longest week ever, it seemed like, and I just haven't wanted to do anything this weekend. The only thing of note that I did was go see Mockingjay Part 1, and that was very good. If you are into Hunger Games and you've seen the first two, this one is great. I really liked it. Maybe better than the other two. Very, very good. So let's move into knitting, which is where I was when I left you. Finished objects. I have actually four finished objects. How about that? The first finished object that I want to talk about is Little Pumpkins. This is a free pattern by Sabine Rupert, free sock pattern, and I did them out of Plucky Feet and Grandma Bev, and I finished these the day before, or the night before I left to go to Kid and You. I have to say I am slightly disappointed in these, and there are a couple of reasons why. First of all, I guess the most important one is, I'm pretty sure I used the wrong size needle. I think I used the needle that was recommended in the pattern. And if memory serves, I think it was a 2 because of there's cables. And I think I was not experienced enough to realize that I probably did not need to do that. Or maybe I had other things on the needles at the time and didn't have a spare needle. And I'm actually not 100% sure that I used a 2. It may have been smaller. Regardless, the needle was too big for the project. So they fit in as far as circumference. They're fine, But they could be a little tighter. And I would have been happier with them, I think, if they were just a little bit tighter. Second, and this is the most important thing, when I picked them back up, and I don't remember how long it had been since I finished the first sock, and when I picked up the second one fairly recently, I did not pay attention to what toe I did. And it occurred to me after I completed the sock number two, that I had done a different sock. Gosh, I had done a different toe on sock two than I did on sock one. I followed the pattern in sock two, but clearly with sock one, I had not. And in my memory, I even thought that maybe I had, and for some reason, I don't know, you know, who knows what my thought process was when I did the first one. So the second sock is actually a little bit too big. It's probably about a quarter to a half inch too, not a half inch, probably a quarter inch too long. So that is odd. No, actually, Yeah, I think it's the second one that does not fit me as well. First sock actually fits me quite well. And I guess it has to do with the toe. Well, that would make sense. The heel does not fit me as well on, I assume it's the second sock. And it is a heel flap and gusset. And I have decided that I just really am not that fond of them. I have a really hard time getting the heel flap to be the right length. They always kind of bunch up a little bit. So I think from now on, I'm probably going to stick to a different heel. Although I am going to do the heels in Lara Neal's sock architecture, and maybe I'll find one of those that works. I have finished the first sock of the Checked and Squared out of that book, and when I tried that on, I didn't notice any problems with the heels. So we'll just have to see. Maybe the knitting math will be my friend. So that is that project. Second project that I finished, I actually finished two of these, were the 30-row Rasta hats by Elizabeth Green Musselman, who is Dark Matter Knits. She released this pattern a couple of weeks ago, very recently, after I saw her at Kid and You, I believe. And I needed a quick hat for the Japanese students. Or I needed a quick gift for the Japanese students. As I mentioned, I believe, it's been a while, they were not prepared for the cold weather. So I took the opportunity to make them hats. I needed something to give them, and this was a perfect from the heart gift. So the night that we discovered, or that Laura told me that they did not have anything, was the night before they were coming. So I made Jimmy take me to Michael's after dinner. We were out to dinner when we had this conversation. And I bought two skeins of Loops and Threads cozy wool, one of them in spearmint and one of them in velvet. The spearmint is more of a tealy green than I would associate with spearmint. And the velvet is a purple, and it's kind of a tonal purple. They're both really pretty colors. The cozy wool is a super bulky, so these knit up really fast. I highly recommend the pattern. I started them sometime in the evening on Friday night, and I finished hat number two while we were waiting for the students to arrive at the school. So I really had to push it, but they would not normally have taken me that long. I did a lot of cleaning and a lot of other things during the day on Saturday and only, you know, sat down and got them done in between that. If I were sitting and doing them all in one, or, you know, at one time, I would say I could probably do one of them in probably 2 to 3 hours. So that is that. I did take pictures. I did not put the pictures on Instagram because of privacy issues. I posted them on Facebook if there's anybody. I don't think there are a few of you who might be friends with me on Facebook. I'm not sure. And I posted them on my project page on Ravelry, both of which are closed social media networks. I know that Facebook has privacy issues that people complain about, but I have mine set for friends only. Theoretically, only my friends can see that. With Instagram, it's public, and I decided that since they were no longer here for me to ask permission, and I know I have been told before that there are different standards or different privacy concerns with as far as social media goes in Japan, I wanted to respect that. So I did not put them on Instagram. However, once I put the show notes up or put the link, when I open the thread in the Ravelry group for this episode, I will post the pictures that I took there so that you can take a look. They were just delightful. And the pictures I took of them in the hats were just so cute. But, so that I did those two projects. And then I finished the Friendship Socks, which is a paid pattern by Lauren McMorty, who is Limknit Crochet on Ravelry. I used Brazen Stitchery sock yarn in Sparkly Jolly Twinkle Jingly, which was a very deep red and very deep green stripe. There was, I think, a 10 stripe, a 10 row stripe. Does that make sense? 10 round stripe? Assuming, you know, whatever gauge. These turned out absolutely fabulously. And the funny thing is that I started them on November 18th, 2013. I finished them on November 18th, 2014. I had put them aside since I wasn't going to wear them until closer to Christmas. And I just love these socks. The pattern's very well written. Lauren's patterns are always well written. And they fit my feet almost perfectly. They fit perfectly when I put them on. They've stretched out a little bit. But I am very, very, very pleased with how they fit. I would like to comment on the fact that they did not bleed or bled very little. I know that there has been discussion on other podcasts and in other places about the bleeding of certain indie yarns. And so I've been paying a little bit more attention to it. And because these colors were so rich, I was not sure whether or not they would bleed. If you remember, I mentioned in a previous podcast about another pair of socks, and I'm not going to name the dyer right now, but if you want to go back and look at my projects, you could probably figure out which one I'm talking about. I had an issue with the socks turning my feet stripey colors, and since then, and this was stupid on my part, but I fully knew that this was a possibility, even after washing them a couple of times. I threw them all my socks in the wash together. This was dumb, I know. And it wasn't a disaster, but some of my lighter colored pairs of socks have just a slightly dingy tinge to them now. And the stripes and the lighter stripes between the colored stripes on these socks are not quite so light anymore. It was a little frustrating. And the colors in the socks are still very, very vibrant. So I haven't had color loss, but I have had a lot of bleeding. And I noticed today, I did some hand washing of some of my socks today, and I specifically did this pair just because I wanted to see what would happen. And these have probably been washed 4 or 5 times at this point. I don't wash my socks every time I wear them. The water still turned a pretty dark blue. So, it's just as has been said in other podcasts, just a buyer beware. I'm not unhappy with this because I don't expect perfection. I am a little concerned because I believe I have heard some other people having issues with these, and because they tend to have lighter stripes between them, that is more of a concern to me than this pair, the red and green pair that I did today. I mean, if they bleed a little bit, it's not going to make a big difference. You're not going to be able to see it. And I'm just going to make a point of washing them separately because the colors are so rich that I am afraid that they would bleed just a little bit. Anyway, that's just my, it is more of a disclaimer, not a disclaimer, but a, just a warning, just to be careful with some of the color, some of the yarns that have such rich colors, just make sure you don't do what I did and throw them all in the washing machine together. And, you may want to follow some of the instructions that people have for the citric acid, pre-treatment, especially with some of these self-striping yarns that have lighter colors in between them, just to be on the safe side. I know that I will do something like that from now on whenever I have this particular type of self-striping. So I'm off my soapbox there. Works in progress that I have worked on, and I need to remember to add one here when I get, I need to remember to add two. The first one, of course, is my sock yarn blanket, which is an ongoing WIP. I'm going to continue to talk about it because it is an important WIP for me, but don't expect much, much excitement. I am using the free pattern by Shelley King. If you search sock yarn blanket in Shelley King in Google, you'll find it, or you can find it on Ravelry. Plugging along, I have been really good this week at getting my squares in for that, so that is really good. I really need, as I keep saying, I really need to at some point start doing more on it, but I just have so many other things that I want to do. I don't know that I can find basically an hour and a half every day to do it. So this may be, my goal is still it's not going to happen by graduation, I'm almost certain. My goal is leave for college date. And hopefully it will be that. And if it's not, it will get hand delivered or get delivered at the holidays. I don't know. But I'm going to plug on with it as if I am going to give this at the end of the summer. I've also been working on the Olympic Forest Baby Blanket by Very Busy Monkey. This is also a paid pattern. I am using Barocco Vintage in a kind of a spring green color. But it's a little bit muted. I don't know the exact color. It's not mint. It's not neon. It's somewhere in between. I have finished chart 2, and I don't remember how many rows in. Not maybe 10, probably not quite 10. I did not make my goal for finishing this for my OWL for the House Cup, and I am perfectly okay with that. I have done plenty on this. I am still on track to finish this long before my friend's baby is due. So I'm perfectly okay with that. I do really enjoy the pattern. I've gotten to the point where, honestly, I'm having a hard time even getting one row done if I want to do anything else over the course of the night. So I'm just plugging along. I'm enjoying it. I've had to rip back a couple of times for stupid mistakes, but I've done a good job, I think, of fixing them all. Highly recommend any Very Busy Monkey pattern. Well, I've only done two, but so far the two that I have done have been very well written and very fun. I am also still working on my Worsted Boxy, which is a paid pattern by Jorge Locatelli. I am using Malabrigo Rios in the Bobby Blue colorway. And my friend Katie and I were discussing when we were at Kid and You whether or not the color name is right on this. All of the skeins are labeled as Bobby Blue, but it does not look like any Bobby Blue that we see in Ravelry, and it doesn't match the color card. So maybe that's why I got them. I think they were discounted when I got them, so maybe that's why. But I don't really care. The colors, all of my skeins are from the same dye lot. They all work really well together, and it's a beautiful color, whatever the colorway name is. I'm on stockinette section, nothing exciting about this. I have done, I meant to measure before I came in here. I believe I've done about 4 inches out of 17 before splitting for the sleeves. It's actually a pretty, that's without working on it without working on it often. Words are escaping me today. I can usually do, I could easily do two or three rounds while watching a podcast. And with a worsted weight, you know, that adds up pretty quickly. That's at least half an inch right there. So it is not a slow knit, and I'm really enjoying it. So I'm actually thinking about making one for Laura also, but I'm going to finish mine first. The other thing, there's actually two other things that are not on my show notes that I will mention. I have picked up again the Shirtagal socks from Sock Monkey, which is a pattern by Alice Yu. I just love this pattern. It works up really quickly. I am finished the heel and gusset on sock number one, and I'm probably about a third of the way down the foot. Each pattern repeat is probably about an inch, maybe 3/4 of an inch. And I need to do the foot. This is for my husband, so he has a size 11, so I need to do 11. Well, no, I need to do 8 1/4 inches of the pattern before moving on to the toe. It's going pretty quickly. I don't think they'll be finished by Christmas, but they are now my dedicated work project. So when I'm on break, or if I eat lunch in the break room, that's my project to work on. And I can usually do maybe not a full repeat in one day, but close to it. So I think I figured out that I could probably do 1.5 repeats over 2 days. So not bad. Really, really enjoying the pattern. I'm doing those out of Wandering Wool in the Helvellyn sock base. I'm doing this from memory. It is the Royalty color, which is a very dark blue and purple. It's very tonal, and it's very, very pretty. It's a very light fingering weight, and I am very much enjoying them. Jimmy bought me the yarn, so it's not a surprise that I'm making socks for him, but I haven't let him see them because I want the pattern to be a surprise. But I was getting nervous. I finished the heel. I just really wanted to make sure that they were fitting. So I had him try the sock on yesterday, and it fits really well. So I breathed a sigh of relief. I don't have to rip anything out. So now it's just a matter of plugging along. The other thing that, I cast on Measure and Love yesterday using Unwind Yarn Company Touring DK in the First Frost colorway. I think it's the First Frost Dark. I guess there's a light and a dark, and I bought the dark. I haven't actually gotten far enough to say how well it looks. I'm sure it's beautiful. I have knit most of this pattern before and then realized I didn't have enough yarn. So I know the pattern is great. I know it works well in Touring DK because that is what I used for the other one before I ran out. And I just love working with that yarn. I feel like I need to stock up because I don't have very much worsted in DK, which means anytime I want to knit a hat, I almost always have to buy more yarn. My daughter Laura is applying for college, as you may know if you listen regularly. And her top choice is Appalachian State in North Carolina. We don't know for sure if that's where she'll end up, but the thing that I keep thinking about is, ooh, I can knit hats, and she will actually need hats. So I keep keeping that in the back of my head, that I may want to stock up on some DK and worsted so that I can just, over the course of the year, or course of the next several months, I can actually, you know, kind of build a stockpile of hats for her. This is, of course, she may not even go there. But we will know. We should know that probably by the end of January. Exciting news on that front. I don't know. I say it's exciting. It may not be exciting. This may be, you know, nothing special. But she did get a letter. They don't do acceptance until the end of January. But she did get a letter encouraging her to apply for a couple of scholarships, which are full ride scholarships. And that would be fantastic. So, we are hoping she's got to get that application in by December 1st. She's already got a couple of people who were writing her recommendations for that. And I honestly think she has a really good chance. I don't know how these things are decided, but she does have very good grades, very good SAT scores. Well, she's got pretty good grades, very good SAT scores. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but she was 1 point away from being a national merit semifinalist. So she is a commended rank for national merit. Yes, I am bragging. I have a right. She is my daughter and I'm very proud of her. But I'm hoping for her sake, because if I had to choose between the four that she's applying for, that's where I would want to go to. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that the scholarship works out, because it will ultimately come down to money. College is so expensive. So that is all of my works in progress. Spinning. I have been working on a sample from Wooly Bully that was out of my fat fiber box. It is a BFL silk blend. I don't remember the percentages. And I am working on it on the Turkish spindle that I will talk about in just a couple of minutes. And I am absolutely loving it. I'm almost done. I think if I were to do a little bit more today, I could probably finish the bump. And, it's so pretty. It was in the colorway Scarab, which is blues and greens and yellows. And it is so, so pretty. I'm loving it so much. I'm just loving the spindle. But I'll talk about that in a minute. And that's the only spinning I've been doing, but I have been doing a lot of it. Or a decent amount. Maybe not every day this week, but probably many days. Cross stitch, I am still working on the 12 Days of Christmas sampler. I am plugging along with that. I finished day 7 yesterday, and I am doing day 9 now, just because I didn't want to have to move my Q-snap frame, and I would have had to do that to move on to 8 in the border, so I'm just going to finish 9, 10, and 11, and then move it. So, very happy with that. It's so cute. Enabling and acquisitions. So, as you know, I went to the Kid and You Fiber Festival, and I did fall down just a little bit. I will talk about what I got. Actually, looking at it, I don't feel bad about what I got. I don't feel guilty. I went with some ideas of what I wanted to buy. I mentioned that in my last podcast. And I just remembered that I was supposed to do a drawing. I'll have to do that in a little while. Okay. Sorry, lost my train of thought. Enabling and acquisitions. I don't feel bad because I had a list of things that I wanted to look for. And I don't think that I got anything that was an unplanned purchase. In fact, I didn't buy a few things that I had thought about buying. So, let's talk about what I got. The first thing I want to talk about is, actually, I did not get a Kid in You. I ordered the day before we left, when she had an update. I ordered a set of Christmas minis from No Makers for my sock blanket and sock yarn blanket. And I have been working through those along with others over the course of the past couple of weeks. And I'm very happy with it. Of course, our colors are lovely. My favorite so far, actually don't remember which ones I did. I liked Fruitcake, which was on, I don't know what base. I don't remember what the names of her bases are. House Gnome, maybe. And then the one I did yesterday was Under the Tree, I think is what it's called. And it was on a sparkle base, which I don't remember what she calls her sparkle base. But it was so soft and it was so pretty. I liked that one a lot too. But at Kid in You, here's what I got. I got a Turkish spindle from Heritage Arts. It is a really pretty spindle. It's got layers of wood. They're blue layered with natural. I can't remember what the wood is, but it's really pretty. It's about a half an ounce, and it spins like a dream. I don't know if it's the fiber that I am using with it right now, or if it's the spindle, or if it's that I am getting more experienced. but it is spinning so beautifully. It is, there are a couple places that are a little thicker than other places and a couple places that are a little thinner, but for the most part, it is very consistent. It's probably, this is, I would have to say this is the best spinning I have done so far. Too bad it's only just a little bit of a sample, but I'm thinking it's thin enough that when I ply it, I can probably use that in the sock yarn blanket. So that'll be special. So that is what I got there. I got a Christmas bat from Knitting Lanyap. And this was reds and greens and sparkle. I don't remember what the content, didn't write down the content. I know that it just says wool. It doesn't say what type of wool it is. And it's not the softest that I've seen. It is pretty. It's very red and green. This is the one thing that I bought that I have a little bit of buyer's remorse. Not because it's not pretty, but because I saw something a little prettier further along. And I think I might have mentioned when I was talking about Kidding You that I tried to do around first before purchasing. And this was one of those one thing I purchased that I should have waited because I saw something I liked a little bit better later on and I didn't have the money to spend on it. So that was a little frustrating, but at the same time, it's going to be a lot of fun to spin. And as soon as I finish the sample that I'm working on right now on the Turkish spindle, I'm going to work on that. I'm very excited about that. I have Lone Star Arts, who is Amanda. She's on Instagram. We are friends on Instagram or follow each other on Instagram. I got some roll logs. And I don't remember what the colorway is. I didn't write that down. But they are merino, mohair, and something else that I couldn't read in the picture that I took. And that's what I was looking at when I made my show notes. They're mostly white with pops of blue and green. I think they'll be really, really pretty spun up. And I also bought from her a skein of Big Bend DK, which is 100% superwash merino, in the Lump of Coal colorway, which will make a nice hat for a guy. And I think I know who I'm going to make it for, but it could speak to me differently when I actually start working on it. I got a ton of mini skeins. I had decided that I was going to buy as many mini skeins as I could. Basically, anybody that was buying them, I was going to buy them, and I was going to buy one of each color that they were selling. And that's exactly what I did. I think I got 17 mini skeins. And I got them from Knitting Rose, Mustache Yarns, Brazen Stitchery. And those have been thrown into the... I have a project bag that my mom gave me that has blue bonnets on it. And I am using that to hold the mini skeins as I get them. So I just reach in and grab one. I don't pay any attention to what color it is. And it's interesting. But those have been thrown in with that. Also at Mustache Yarns, I got a skein of Martian Rainbow, which is a 12-stripe rainbow. And it is in her Perfect Sock Base. And it is an OCD set. So if you are not familiar with the set, basically it is the same, you know, a standard amount of yarn, but it is divided into two skeins that started exactly the same place so that if you are anal and want your socks to match exactly, you can do that. And I don't really care one way or the other, but that's the only one I saw, or I didn't see. It seemed like all she had were OCD sets, but maybe not. I might have missed some. But 12-stripe rainbow, come on. I had to decide between that and just another rainbow one that was a 6-stripe rainbow. But I had to go with the 12. That was perfect. And it is beautiful. I can't wait to make socks with that. I think it's the only self-striping that I have in my stash right now. So, very excited about that. And believe it or not, that's all the damage I did. It was a lot of damage. It was a lot of stuff. But I love every bit of... Oh, no, it's not everything. I forgot one thing. I also bought a set of Wizard of Oz stitch markers. The funny thing about this was just days before I went to Kidding You, I don't remember when, and I don't remember why, but I was thinking about Wizard of Oz stitch markers. Maybe I'd seen a vintage rose update, or I had seen something, and something made me think about whether or not anybody had a set of Wizard of Oz stitch markers, assuming, of course, that they did. But the thing that I was thinking was, wouldn't it be cute if you had a set of Wizard of Oz stitch markers and the slippers were red? Everything else was silver, but the stitch marker for the shoes was red. And I was walking, and this was at Knitting Lanyap, and I was looking at the stitch markers, and that's exactly what I found. It was a set of Wizard of Oz stitch markers with the ruby slippers being red. So it was fate. I had to buy those. Oh, they were lovely. And that's why I went ahead and got the Christmas bat, because I knew I was getting those. I didn't necessarily want to come back to this one, and I was afraid the stitch markers would be gone. So that's what happens when you impulse buy. But I love the stitch markers. They are in use on the Olympic Forest blanket right now. So let me mention the Christmas All Year Long Knit Along. We are in the fourth quarter for this. If you finish anything between October and December, you can enter for this quarter. The prize will be winner's choice of either a $10 or less pattern from Ravelry, a $10 gift certificate to the online shop of your choice, or if there's something you want that does not have a gift card option, that is $10 or less, I will be willing to purchase that if you live in the U.S. I can't, unfortunately, do international shipping right now. But, I will cover shipping on that, which is why the international shipping is not an option for this. But anything winter holiday related, no matter what winter holiday it is, it could be Christmas, Hanukkah, Festivus, Solstice, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate over the winter holidays, you can use it to enter, and it can be a decoration, an ornament, a gift, whatever you want, as long as you can fit it in as part of a winter holiday. I will draw for that at the first podcast after January 1st. There is also a grand prize drawing for this if you have entered at all between January and December. You will be entered in a drawing for an Absolute Wonder project bag and Notion pouch. And once I have a picture of the project bag, I know that my mom has gotten the fabric for it, but once she has made the bag and shared pictures with me, I will post that in the group. And they are going to be very cute. I don't know which combination of fabric she's going to use, but I've seen the fabric, all of the different options, and no matter what she chooses, it's going to be fabulous. In the kitchen, here's what my notes say. Cooking for the Japanese. That's very helpful, considering how long it's been since I podcast. It's not much to talk about, really. We did pancakes for breakfast on Sunday morning when they were here. It was so cute when Laura told them that we were going to have pancakes. They actually clapped and giggled, and it was so cute. But we did that with bacon on Sunday morning, and then for dinner on Sunday night, I did the beef stew that I talked about a few weeks ago. The Cook's Illustrated one. I posted the recipe for that in the group already. It was just as good this time as it was the first time. I don't know how well they liked it. They didn't tell me, but that's okay. I wasn't expecting them to. They ate it all. So I don't know if I'm sure they haven't had anything quite like that before, but that was interesting. I did make a Mexican chocolate cake for the dinner we had for them at the school on Monday night. I don't know if I've talked about this cake on the podcast or not, so I will talk about it just a little bit. It's a very simple cake, just a very basic chocolate cake, but it has cinnamon and vanilla in the batter. I don't know if normal chocolate cake has vanilla. I don't make them that often. But I know that the cinnamon vanilla combination is what makes it the Mexican chocolate cake. And then it has a glaze on top of it. Instead of being like a thick buttercream icing or something like that, it's just a really basic glaze that is pourable. And while the cake is still warm, you pour it on top. And that also has a good bit of vanilla and cinnamon in it. It's a very good cake and very easy. Literally a one dish. Well, two dishes. One to mix it up in, one to bake it in. But it was it's really, really good cake. That was the cake that started it all for me as far as baking. Which makes me wonder if I've talked about it before, but I took that to work one day for our party, and it was, I was not a baker. It sounded good. I wanted an excuse to make it. I made it. And working in a public library, you can't necessarily get everybody together at the same time. So a staff party often would go over 2 hours where half the staff would be there at one time, and then the next hour the other staff would be there. And halfway through that first hour, manager actually took the cake away so that there would be some for the second half. It was very flattering. And I was kind of dumbfounded because I had never had that reaction from anything I had cooked before. And that is what started my path down baking. And I will look back and see if I've shared that recipe before. If I haven't, I'll share it in the group. What else? I've done very little cooking this week. I guess that's the only thing that I baked. I mentioned that I have dinner in the oven now, and I'm cooking a meal called, it's like Southern style smothered pork chops or something like that. It's a Pinterest meal. I haven't had it before. It smells good. And, basically you dip the pork chops in egg, then flour, then breadcrumbs, and then pan fry them just to brown them on either side, bake them for an hour covered, and then pour a gravy that has cream of mushroom soup and some other stuff, which I don't know because I haven't done that yet. You pour that over it and let them cook for another 30 minutes. So we're having that and some mashed potatoes from the grocery store for dinner tonight. Next week is Thanksgiving here in the States on Thursday, this coming Thursday. So I still have not done my Thanksgiving shopping, which means it's going to be crazy. But we did go to the store today to get regular meal stuff for the next couple of days. And then we're going to go Tuesday night after I get off work. And hopefully it won't be too crazy in the evening. And Jimmy doesn't have school on Wednesday. So that's a good night for us to go. And we'll go and get the rest of the stuff then. I know what posted last year. I talked about our Thanksgiving and what we normally have. So if you want, you can go back and listen to that. That would probably be no more than my third episode since I started recording in early November. I may even be the second episode. I don't know. So you can go back and take a look at that or take a listen to that if you want. We are mixing it up just a little bit this year. Laura told me earlier this week, or maybe it was, no, I guess it was last week one day, she informed me that she thought that we should have turkey burgers instead of turkey on Thanksgiving. I said no way to that. I can deal with an alternative to turkey. I'm not the biggest turkey fan in the world. But turkey burgers? No, I don't think so. So instead, we're going to have ham. I said we would come up with alternatives. So we're having ham and a different type of sweet potato casserole actually you don't usually make a sweet potato casserole, so this is different. A couple of different side dishes. Basically, we're going to try something different. We always have the same thing. We're going to break out of our rut and do some different ones. The one thing that we will keep is the green bean casserole, which I don't like, but everybody else does. I may, if Laura is willing to help me, try a homemade version of that. Sally's Baking Addiction, which is the best food blog I have found, posted a recipe earlier this week, or late last week, for a homemade version of this. And it looks a little time intensive, but if Laura is willing to help and deal with the onions, then I'm willing to try it. Or I'm willing to make it. I'm not willing to try it. I'm not a big fan of green beans in the first place, and I detest onions. So, but I am willing to do what makes my family happy. So I guess that's it. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for being patient. Since I am recording so late, I'm going to call this our kind of a middle ground between last week and next week, and I won't record again until after Thanksgiving. So you will hear from me again the first week of December, and I will get it out then that week, I promise. I do still need to do a drawing for my Potiversary. I'm going to give away a copy of Pattern by Quilter Caroline, and let me pull it up because I want to make sure I get the name right. I didn't write it down here because I did that on a spur of the moment. Oh gosh. Check my show notes from last time. Two episodes ago. And you will see the pattern name. Caroline, I'm really sorry that I don't remember the name right off. And Caroline has actually offered to give the pattern away, to donate a copy of the pattern as a giveaway. So thank you very much for that. And I am sure whoever wins it will be very thrilled. I think because I just want to get this podcast out now, because otherwise who knows when it'll happen, I'm going to wait and I will draw for that the next podcast. So December 3rd is when I will draw for that, and I will keep the thread open until then. So if you want, you can still enter. The thread is open on the Ravelry group, and I just want you to tell me what your favorite shawl pattern is. And with that, I am going to go. I hope you all have a wonderful week. For those of you in the United States, I hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving and enjoy your time off from work. And for those of you who work retail, good luck, and I hope you find rest sometime very, very soon. I will talk to you soon.